speaking on this program is Gary Cawley.
Question, what must I do to be saved? I don't know of any greater and more important question that anyone could ask than this. I know that there are many who teach different theories along this line, and we're not interested in the theories of men at all, but we do want to know what saith the Scriptures, Romans 4 and verse 3. There was indeed a jailer in Acts the 16th chapter who came desiring a question to be answered by the Apostle Paul. As indeed the earthquake shook that jailhouse and removed the bands that were holding the prisoners, and the jailer, knowing what would be his end if they escaped, and he thought they had escaped, then he, of course, arose and was about to kill himself with his sword. In verse 27 of Acts 16, that is given, he supposed that the prisoners had already fled. But verse 28 says, Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And then he called for a light, and he sprang in, and he came trembling, and he fell down before Paul and Silas. He brought them out, and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all of his straightway. And when he had brought them up into the house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. Here is indeed a wonderful account of a conversion of a man and his family. These, of course, were all old enough to understand, believe, repent of their sins, confess the name of Christ with their own mouth, and be buried with their Lord in baptism. But this is the third of the questions that are asked in the New Testament, "What must I do to be saved?" And indeed, they're all important for us to answer and to understand. When we ask that question, of course, it may be asked by one who is an alien sinner, one who has never come into covenant relationship with God. It may with equal propriety be propounded by the children of the living God, because oftentimes children err. All sinners out of Christ, of course, are alien sinners, and as all Gentiles were said to be aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and they needed to remember that they, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, whom he said were called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Ephesians 2, verses 11 through 13. Isn't it wonderful to see these who were once afar off, in other words, not near to the obedience and to the blessings that God had to give, are now made nigh. But what is that by which they're made nigh? Well, it was the blood of Christ. Without the blood of Christ, there would be no remission, Hebrews 9, 27. And so these needed the blood of Christ so they would no longer be aliens, but rather be members of the body of Christ. You know what? All who have obeyed the gospel are in Christ Jesus, because the Lord adds those to His church, Acts 2:41 and 47, their sons and daughters of the Lord Almighty. Well, they may still sin, however, because all of us are sinners, and in some sense, and to some extent. In fact, John wrote about that when he said, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and the Word is not in us." This is 1 John 1, verses 8 through 10. In 1 John 2, 1, He said, "Now, brethren, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Christians have the privilege of going before the throne of God in prayer, and what a blessing it is. But you know, there is a world of difference between the relationship subsisting between alien sinners and God and the Christians and God. Hence the importance of the term alien sinners to definitely designate and locate the sinners out of Christ. Alien sinners are not in Christ, never have been. Christians, though, even when they sin, are still in Christ and are still children, but they're disobedient children of God. So they need to repent and turn back, but they do not need to obey the gospel of Christ again. You know, Christians and sinners are sometimes designated as saints and sinners. And all of us, whether saints or sinners, should be interested in that question, what must I do to be saved, and the answer thereto. Alien sinners should be interested in this important question and answer, shouldn't they? That they may know how to enter into Christ, where the Spirit says we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of our sins, Colossians 1:14. Now, Christians should be similarly interested, that they may know how to so live as to make their calling and election sure, as Peter commanded in 2 Peter 1, 5-11. And finally, to enter into that rest, you know, that remains to the people of God. Now, duty demands, my friends, that both saints and sinners propound this question. What must I do to be saved? It's a very personal question, isn't it? Duty no less clearly and imperatively demands that the answer thereto be proclaimed from the pulpit and published from the press. Every chance we have, we ought to put forth that wonderful plan of salvation. It ought to be proclaimed publicly and privately by the children of the living God, wheresoever there are sinners to be saved and saints to tell the account of Jesus and His love for them. And these who are really in the service of the living God in Christ, in the church of our Lord, we read about in the Bible, and they should be ready always, everywhere, and understanding all circumstances to give the correct scriptural answer to the question, what must I do to be saved? Let me stop a moment, my friends, and ask, can you give the answer to that question? And if someone asks you today, what must I do to be saved? Could you take your Bible and find the answer for them? God demands this of all His children. The Apostle Peter, divinely inspired, writing to the entire church of our Lord for all time, wrote, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is within you, yet with meekness and with fear. 1 Peter 3:15. To give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you is to give the answer to the question, what must I do to be saved? Well, where shall we go to get the answer to this great question? You know, we cannot go to the depths of our own souls, to the recesses of our own hearts, and elicit it from this place of human wisdom. For it is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps, Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10:23. Man cannot, unaided by revelation, even reason from nature to up to nature's God. For the Bible, the book of God, declares that the world by wisdom knew not God, knew Him not, never knew Him, has never known Him by human wisdom. Now this is evidently the thought then, isn't it? Of course then, man cannot reason out the way of God. He cannot draw from the depths of his own wisdom the answer to the question, what must I do to be saved? If he did, it would be the wrong answer, because it's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. Hence the Holy Spirit says in 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom knew not God, it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now this is not foolish preaching, but it is that which the world considers foolishness and will not listen to and will not obey. Now man is human, he's not divine, even though some people must think that they are. But the answer to this question must be a divine answer, mustn't it? Hence we must come to a divine source, and the answer must come from a divine source. Therefore we cannot, certainly should not, look into our own hearts or trust our own feelings or our dreams or impulses or what we think a small still voice may say to us in the night for the answer to this question. Or as evidence of acceptance with God, it will just simply not work. If we do, we then trust not God, but we trust ourselves, don't we? And God, of course, is a shield unto those who put their trust in Him, says Proverbs 31:5. But if we look to self, trust our own feelings, our dreams, our impulses, our own experiences, we put our trust in ourselves, not in God. And that, my friends, is a very dangerous thing to do. So this being true, let's look to Him, to the divine source, for an answer to the question, what must I do to be saved? You know, if we can go directly to Jehovah, as Adam and Eve, or Abraham, Moses, or Elijah may have done, ask Him the question and get the answer by direct revelation from His own lips, in His own language and His voice. Of course, that would satisfy us perfectly, wouldn't it? If we could just hear Him speak those words. But it's not possible for us to do that. You see, if we could go directly to the Lord Jesus Christ and sit at His feet like Mary of old and ask the question and hear the answer in His own sweet voice and words, voice and words sweeter than the sweetest song the angels have ever sung, not one of us would hesitate to accept that answer, would we? But we cannot do that. You see, the day of His personal presence on earth has passed. So if we would go directly to the Holy Spirit in person, converse with Him, propound this question and get an answer, that answer would be perfectly satisfactory to all of us who have just relationship with God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit, for they're equally divine, and the answer of the Holy Spirit would be the answer of all, wouldn't it? But we cannot ask this question to the Holy Spirit in person and hear the Spirit's answer directly in person given from heaven. That's just not possible now. Nor is it possible for us to appeal directly to the angels. For from them to receive this answer to the question, it would not be possible. There was a day when God sent angels to earth to make revelations unto men and to direct them, but He does that no more, and we must understand that. All of us are dependent up today upon God's Word. That's the revelation of the Lord as to what He must have in order of our obedience in order to be saved, and we have to trust that